Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second. Since 1983, Eddie Trunk has been the voice for fans of rock, hard rock, and heavy metal. A best-selling author, host of TV's That Metal Show, and seven national radio shows, including Trunk Nation, daily on Sirius XM.
Interesting.
Eddie offers the world his news-making interviews, passionate analysis, honest commentary, and who knows what else. So welcome to the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, which is new every Thursday via PodcastOne.com and iTunes. Thank you for listening, downloading, and streaming, and hope you are having a good week as we settle in for another cool interview. I was going to say an hour or two, but you never know how long the podcasts are going to be. I usually try to clock in somewhere around an hour, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, and I think we'll have about that this week for you with Dee Snider. Spending some time with me this week, and also a gentleman by the name of Rob Evan, who has a history with Trans-Siberian Orchestra and is currently one of the main performers and people behind a show called Rocktopia, which is on Broadway in New York City at the time you're hearing this. It is a orchestra classical mashup with rock live show. I have not seen it yet. In all honesty, those sort of things are not really up my alley. I'm more of a purist when it comes to rock music. However, I try to keep an open mind, and if I can get there, I certainly will. They did they're in the middle or towards the tail end of doing a month-long run in New York where they are having guest vocalists. It started with Pat Monahan from Train for a week. It included Dee Snider. And it now includes Robin Zander of Cheap Trick, who I'll also probably have on this podcast talking about it at some point, as Robin is doing it the week I am recording this podcast, the time that you're hearing this. So I'm going to try to get there. My schedule is so jam-packed that I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to make it. And like I said, I would go see it because I do have an open mind about that stuff. But in general, Broadway and musicals are not my thing at all. But this is rock-based, and it's not a performance in that sense. So I would go, but I honestly do not think I'm going to have the time. I've been traveling every weekend, sometimes even more than that. My schedule is just jammed in April and May for the most part, and going forward from there even. And I'm lucky to have all this work, but it is quite exhausting running around the country pretty much every weekend somewhere. I just came back from Houston, where I was there for, maybe a little more than 24 hours to be exact. I flew in on Sunday of this past week, hosted a show at Proof Rooftop Lounge in Houston with Tom Kiefer. The second time I've been to this venue, it's really pretty cool what's going on there. Guy by the name of Justin Ellerton, who I thank for bringing me out and having me, has this really cool venue on a rooftop in downtown Houston. And I guess I was there last maybe 4 months ago or so, and it's already taken a huge step forward in terms of what they're building there. They've built a whole other area for it now, and it's on a rooftop, and they're talking about putting a retractable roof on top of it. They have a little bit of an issue with sound in the area because being on a rooftop, it's bleeding through to the people who live in that area. But they are really doing some cool stuff there. Great setting. The weather was amazing. Tom Kiefer with a tremendous set and just a great time. And it was great to host it. So many amazing fans there in Houston for me and for what I do, which I appreciate. I took so many pictures, met so many people. And Tom Kiefer, man, I can't say enough about Tom. He is just sounding amazing. His band is amazing. If you guys are holding out for a Cinderella reunion, forget about it. It's not happening. Tom Kiefer is completely committed to this band that he's doing right now with his bandmates, with his wife in it. Think about this. In a day and age where we see everybody in the world playing in 75 different bands at the same time, in the last 6 years or so, Tom Kiefer has only done one thing, and that's played with his own band. That's how committed he is to this. He is building it. He does a ton of Cinderella material. Let's be honest. He wrote the stuff. He sang the stuff. Played guitar on the stuff. This is where the Cinderella thing lives. Now, I say that, by the way, with absolutely no disrespect to Eric Brittingham, Fred Corey, and oh my God, how am I forgetting my buddy the chef, Jeff LaBar. I'm sorry, senile in my old age. I mean, no disrespect to those guys. They're great players. They're great people. They're friends. But the whole thing has moved on. And yes, is there more money out there for Cinderella? Absolutely, because name value is what it's all about. But it ain't happening. Tom Kiefer has said it privately, publicly. He is building this. He's sticking with this. He's playing a ton of Cinderella songs in the set. They sound amazing, and this is where it's at right now. Eric Brittingham plays in Bret Michaels' band. Jeff LaBar is now a chef. And Fred Corey scores TV shows and movies and does music for the LA Kings. So everybody's doing well. Everybody seems happy. And yeah, of course, everybody would love to see them play again. But Tom runs that show, and it ain't happening. I can tell you from talking to him, zero interest in going back to that world right now. He's very happy with what he's doing. And he's working really hard and has been to build this. And it's growing and getting better. It really is. It was great to see him. We hung out for a bit, saw the guys in the band who are, and the ladies in the band who are very nice people. And it was a really fun time there last Sunday night in Houston at Proof. Great crowd. Really interesting what they do with that venue, too. They give all the tickets away. It's always free shows there. Interesting business model. You know, there are so many concerts now. I just saw emails, tickets, $20 a piece for any Live Nation show. My friend in Tulsa sent me an email, Judas Priest playing there, $35 tickets, $25 tickets. I mean, there's so much music. It's starting to get a little oversaturated, not a little, a lot. So this is an interesting business model, what they are doing at this place in Houston, because they are giving away the ticket. The shows are free. Not sure how he's pulling it off. I mean, the deal is obviously people are going to buy booze and what have you, but still, pretty incredible that he's able to do that. And it was a fun time there. And then on Monday afternoon, I did my Sirius XM volume show from a place called the White Oak Music Hall, which was also a very cool venue in Houston. Three venues in one spot. There was an outdoor venue, a mid-size indoor venue, and a smaller indoor venue. I didn't see a show there. I did my radio show from there, but that was a really cool spot there. And I hope to be back and check that place out and see a show there at some point. And Proof has already told me they'd like me to come back sometime in September, so hopefully I'll have some information about that soon. But really, really good time in Houston. Very short visit, but great time. Next up for me this weekend, I will be in New Orleans. My second trip there in about 6 months, and before that, I hadn't been there in 30 years. Had a great time there last time. Looking forward to this weekend. It is a working trip. I'm there to shoot the sixth episode of my upcoming TV series, Trunk Fest, for Access TV. And I'll be there covering Jazz Fest this time. Unfortunately, we're shooting this weekend instead of next weekend because Aerosmith plays next weekend. But it actually works out better for me because the weekend Aerosmith is at Jazz Fest, I have to be at M3 in Maryland to host that. So I would have had a conflict, but It's just the way the producers picked it to do this weekend. I know Rod Stewart is one of the acts that I saw. Bonnie Raitt, but outside of that, not a whole lot of rock, but a very eclectic mix of bands. And on this new TV show, we're covering more of the event and the festival more so than actually who's playing it, although we do touch on the artists as well. So looking forward to being back in New Orleans this weekend, getting in there Thursday night, spending Friday, Saturday, coming back Sunday. Should be a lot of fun. I can't wait for you guys to see my new show. Again, it premieres July 1st, 9:30 Eastern time on Access TV, with anywhere from 8 to 10 episodes, depending upon how many they want me to do. We got 5 in the can right now. And then from there, as I mentioned, M3 the following weekend. And then I bolt out of M3 on Saturday night and fly Saturday night to Los Angeles, get in late Saturday night into LA. And from there, I do the Ride for Ronnie for the Dio Cancer Fund, host that on Sunday, the 6th of May. And then that rolls into a week of broadcasts from Los Angeles, the week of May 7th on my SiriusXM show on Volume. So this travel keeps coming. The great stuff keeps happening, and I appreciate you guys coming along for the ride. As usual, best way to keep up with everything I'm doing is on my website and by following on Twitter, at Eddie Trunk on Twitter. Instagram, Facebook is there for you as well. Same handle, at Eddie Trunk. EddieTrunk.com is the official online home. All of my appearances, as they are confirmed and come in, are right there on the homepage. Many more that I didn't tell you about, I'll tell you about them more as we get a little bit closer, but have a look at the site. Merch is there too. You know, my radio show, which you can hear daily on SiriusXM 106 Volume from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Trunk Nation, have a brand new t-shirt just made available in the merch store on my site. So have a look and appreciate you representing out there. All the merch is right there on the site. Signed copies of either of my books, music news, all on EddieTrunk.com. And if you become an all-access member of my site, for a very small fee, you not only get a signed photo and some cool bumper stickers, and thanks to Goody's Headache Powder for making some cool Trunk Nation bumper stickers, which I'm giving out at various appearances. But if you become an all-access member, you get all that stuff, and you get to hear my FM radio show on demand anytime you want. Hit all-access on EddieTrunk.com for more info on that. All of the interviews you hear on the Eddie Trunk podcast originated on my show on SiriusXM 106 Volume, including this week with Dee Snider and Rob Evan. Dee Snider, we talk about a lot of stuff, Dee and I do. Dee and I have known each other for a very long time. We're old friends, always fun when we get together and start yapping. And it was good to meet Rob Evan and have him in for the interview you're about to hear, which again was centered about on Dee, who was about to do Rocktopia at the time we did this interview a couple weeks ago. He has now completed that and finished his run. But we talk about a lot of other stuff that it's certainly worth a listen. And you get a little overview about what this Rocktopia show is, because it is touring and it is continuing from Rob Evan as well. So that's what's in store for you on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast, coming up in a matter of minutes. As usual, if you begin your shopping on Amazon or do any shopping on Amazon, start at amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Appreciate you doing so. Again, amazon.com/shop/Eddie Trunk. Let's get to it now. In just a second here, Dee Snider joins me on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Coming up.
The Eddie Trunk podcast.
Foreigner with the 21st Century Orchestra and Chorus, the new album featuring the classic hits as you've never heard them before, live and orchestral. The album was recorded at KKL Luzern, Switzerland in May 2017 and is the very first Foreigner album with a full orchestra and choir. Together with the 21st Century Orchestra and Chorus, the performance showcases all of Foreigner's biggest hits, such as Cold as Ice, Say You Will, Double Vision, Urgent, Feels Like the First Time, Jukebox Hero, and more. These anthems have been reimagined through orchestral and choral arrangements and can now be enjoyed with a completely new perspective with fantastic sound quality. Available on CD, DVD, CD, 180-gram vinyl, box set, and digitally starting April 27th. So just about now, right? The live performance will also be broadcast in June on a PBS channel near you. Be sure to catch Foreigner on tour this summer, commencing June 15th through August 4th with Whitesnake and Jason Bonham's Led Zeppelin Evening. Foreigner, the new album with the 21st Century Orchestra and Chorus, exclusive CD and DVD, available only at Walmart.
New to Podcast One, The Producer's Guide with Todd Garner. Join Todd as he interviews the biggest names in Hollywood, like Adam Sandler.
We drove down there and my brother's like, do you have your material? I said, what do you mean?
Rebel Wilson.
I couldn't interact with these people, so I put on this American accent and pretended to be American.
And Isla Fisher.
I just wrote a passionate letter explaining how much I wanted to be a clown, begging them to accept me.
Download new episodes of The Producer's Guide with Todd Garner every Thursday on PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or Apple Podcasts.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
All right, as promised on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast, Dee Snider, of course, of Twisted Sister fame. We talk about a lot of things, including does he regret his decision to end Twisted Sister. Also, Rob Evan from Rocktopia. As I said, at the time this interview was done, Dee was about to do a week of Rocktopia. That is now complete, and Robin Zander is doing it at the moment. But it's a good interview just the same. Some great content that we get into about all sorts of stuff. Have a listen on the Eddie Trunk Podcast. How are you, sir?
Good. There was a weird moment in the hall. It was a Twisted Angel for a second as we sort of crossed paths and hugged it out.
Those guys just reminded me when they were on that the last time they probably saw you, everyone was together in Vegas for that awards show.
Oh, yeah.
When we
yeah.
both did the podcast with Angel and you guys,
right.
And we crossed in that studio. And
that's right.
Are you still in Vegas?
I got my Vegas place, and we live in Belize now, too, so... On the beach.
You were telling me you were big on Belize. You were telling me about Belize.
Rob dragged me off the beach to come here to Rocktopia. And I'm glad to be here. My only regret is my wife said, oh, it'll be springtime in New York. It'll be nice. Yeah, right.
Yeah, 38 today. Yeah,
that didn't happen.
Yeah. And of course, Rob is Rob Evan from Rocktopia. Nice to meet you, sir.
Nice to meet you, Eddie.
Yeah. Thanks, so I want to get a little bit of the story about this show and Dee's involvement because it's just coming off of, I guess, the run with Pat Monahan was doing it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah, we're just doing 6 weeks. That's kind of our Broadway residency. And Pat was with us for the first 3 weeks. But I'm so excited about putting this guy in the show tonight.
Well, you got some great coverage this morning, as I'm sure you heard from Howard Stern.
You know, Howard was there in the matinee, and he was so generous, man. It was so cool.
Yeah, he dug it.
And Pat handed me the baton in the dressing room last night. Just
literally
slapped it in my hand, and he said, take this and run with it. It was a microphone, actually.
Now, how does this happen? Because you did this run with Pat, and now, Dee, you start tonight?
Tonight.
Your first performance is tonight. In the show. So where does the rehearsal come in? How do you work that? Train wreck tonight on Broadway?
Yeah, dude.
It won't be a train wreck.
Rehearsal? Rock and roll? What are you talking about?
We rehearsed. We did a three-hour rehearsal on Friday.
We talked about it.
And I've been doing my homework, and I'm ready.
Did you watch Pat do it a few times?
I saw Pat last night.
Okay.
So, Pat does his thing.
But you watched the show.
I've seen the show, and we rehearsed my songs. And I'm ready. And if I'm a little not ready, that's rock and roll.
Of course.
Yeah. It's not a plug and play either. I mean, what Dee brings to the table with these songs, with singing Zeppelin and Aerosmith, and then we're doing a special, Johann Strauss mixed with We're Not Going to Take It encore.
See that mix with Burn in Hell.
Seriously, yes.
That's the next tour. But that's what's unique about the show. I don't know what you know about the show. I mean, plenty of people have used symphony orchestras with their stuff going back to Deep Purple in the 70s.
Right.
But this is pairing classical music and classical singers. There's a full-blown opera singer. What is her name?
Her name is Allison Cambridge. She's from the Met.
The real deal. On stage with rock and roll and Dee Snider together.
I guess we should take a few steps back here first. And Rob, this is where you would come in to explain what Rocktopia is. Because again, we're broadcasting across the country here.
Sure.
And people in New York might know, but it's relatively new. I got to tell you, I first got heard about it and got turned on to it by my mom, who saw it on, I guess, PBS. There was a special from somewhere in Europe.
Budapest.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. And my mom's calling me and telling me it's the greatest thing. And then,
I apologize for
no,
that.
And then I went there for Christmas, and she put it on the TV and made everybody watch it before she served Christmas dinner. I'm telling
That's
you.
Again, cool. I apologize.
Mrs.
Man.
Trunk is all in. She's dying to come and see this thing. But she told me about it. And then when I heard it was coming to New York, that's when I was like, okay, you know, this is a progressing thing. But what is the origin of Rocktopia? What is your role in it? Tell everybody what it is for people that don't know.
Well, I you know, this is kind of, I'd say it's a soundtrack of my life. It's kind of, you know, my vision mixed with an amazing conductor that I've worked with in the symphony world for years and years. And it's the idea that if Mozart and Beethoven, you know, were alive today, they would be our rock stars and used, you know, electric guitars and things like that, just like Freddie Mercury and Plant and you know, Daltrey and all the Who and every all their music will resound beyond our lifetimes. So it's kind of this idea of icon meets icon. But also, it's just a big party on stage, you know, finding this commonality between these great music and using truly the classical themes and not dumbing them down. We're actually using a symphonic orchestra and mixing.
There's a lot of the band is huge,
it's
right?
It's big. It's about 70 people on stage.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And then you know, taking like Stravinsky's Rite of Spring and mixing it with, you know, Purple Haze. And the idea, too, that when Stravinsky wrote The Rite of Spring, they rioted in the streets. So he was a rock star. And that's, you know, our idea. So the cool thing about bringing Dee, which is very different than Pat in the show, is he's bringing this metal to it. And he's doing this version that we deconstructed of Kashmir, but we've added this metal element to it because he's so amazing.
I complained.
Dude, it's a lot. It's a lot. I can't wait. I'm so excited.
So you're going to, Dee, you're going to sing... Are you going to do Twisted Sister songs?
I do one. I'm mainly here doing stuff I've never done before. Stairway, Kashmir.
But in the earliest days of Twisted as a cover band, this is probably a little bit... I mean, you've done these songs,
no.
Right?
Dream On, never.
Oh, okay.
No. We did some Zeppelin in the early days. It was first album stuff, you know. How many more times? The good stuff. Right. Not that this isn't good stuff, but not the later stuff. So this is, and this is very ballady.
Yeah. It's,
also, so that's a challenge.
Until you're encore.
Yes. But it was when we were rehearsing, when we did We're Not Going to Take It, then I had to go back and re-sing the ballads.
Right.
I was just all hyped up. So I got to get calmed down.
Yeah, because anybody that's ever seen Dee Snider and Twisted Sister on stage know that Dee doesn't exactly just sit on a stool and mail
but
it
I'm
in.
But I'm still intense, even though it's a ballad. See, I think ballads
You're intense
are
now
passion.
Talking about it.
Yes.
So he had a mic stand that was delivered to the stage. And I picked that mic stand up. It was the heaviest thing I've ever picked up in my entire life. It's not an aluminum mic stand. It is like full-on iron.
They delivered it, Maggie, the production, I don't know what she is exactly, she said, why does he need his own mic stand? And she tried to lift it up, and she and it literally like pulled her back, and she said, oh, I see. Because those little, you know, I'm not Coverdale, but there's an aluminum mic stand spinning it around. Like, what is that? It's a piece of garbage. It's like a soda can.
You want to do some weightlifting while you're actually performing.
Well, I break them. They break, so I had to bring my own mic stand just to be safe. I offered it to Rob.
From Belize.
He needs to hit the gym.
Yeah, dude, I was like... One, two.
So, Rob, going back to you, what is your history in music? In other words, did I read that you were in or part of Trans-Siberian Orchestra at one point?
Yeah, for 16 years.
So you were in, and what did you do? You were in the performance? You were a musician in it?
Yeah, I've been on a couple of records. Paul O'Neill was kind of a mentor of mine. I was Beethoven in their Beethoven's Last Night rock opera, and I've been on... Nightcastle and Lost Christmas Eve.
Did you tour with them too? Did you go into the live show? You did,
tours.
East or West Coast?
East normally. And then when we come together for a rock opera, I'm in the one band and we go to Europe and stuff like that. So.
Okay, so you were doing TSO for a while and then you had the idea. Was Rocktopia your idea to put this together?
My idea.
Okay,
yeah.
And where did you first do it? In Europe?
No, I did it in Youngstown, Ohio, actually.
Really? You know? When?
Yeah, in 2012.
So Rocktopia has existed for about 6 years.
Well, just in my brain, yeah. I mean,
and in Youngstown.
Well,
it's
an expensive it's an expensive endeavor when you put, you know, 100 people on stage. In Budapest, we had 150 people on stage for PBS. So it's not something we can do in the clubs,
uh-huh,
you know,
right.
that I would love to do. But Yeah, I'm kind of the anti-metal metal guy because I've worked with Sabotage and worked with, you know, my buddy Russ Allen and Joel Hoekstra and a lot of people you've had on the
all,
metal show.
All guys I know and friends.
They're all my buds. So, you know, I'm the guy that operates in that world but doesn't belong in that world. So.
Well, so you're totally – you're more of a classical guy or more of a metal guy?
I'm more of a classical guy.
You're more of a classical guy.
Yeah, that's how I was trained, but all I wanted to be was a rock guy.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I kind of found this kind of middle path.
So is this – doing this now in New York City on Broadway, this is obviously the biggest thing for Rocktopia. This is the biggest platform. It would seem like this has been going on and off a little bit, as you said, since 2012, but it looks like now you're taking a real leap forward with it, bringing in Pat Monahan, bringing in Dee. I know after Dee, Robin Zander's doing it. So you're really – it's going to another level.
Yeah, we're still the new kids on the block. We've only – we toured in the spring for like 20 cities, but we're the new kids, and this was an opportunity. And because I've done 8 Broadway shows, this was kind of like coming home. For me and but yeah, we're a touring project and I hope that
we're not calling ourselves new kids on the block, are we? Because that's not very metal.
Well, that's the song that I'm actually having you do.
Oh, damn!
You didn't know that, did you? Oh. But you signed the contract, didn't you, Dee Snider?
Dee, how much of it, or for that matter, any of the guest singers, Robin or Pat before you, how much of the show are you in versus the show? In other words, if it's a 2-hour show, are you just doing 3-4 songs? You have the whole time? What are you doing?
No, 4 songs and spaced and an encore. No, was it the encore finale? Whatever it is. So, yeah, I'm not – it's not all about Dee Snider. I said I'm a flavor in there. There's 5? Is it 5 amazing singers?
Yep. Well, you can call them amazing.
I will call them amazing. They are just some of the vocal performances, and look, it may not be metal, it may not be rock in the purest sense, but I could certainly appreciate someone who's crushing it live. Chloe, they do Alone by heart, and it was just like, holy crap. I go on after that, don't I? I go on after?
You,
I'm going to kick her ass.
Yeah, you got to go on after. Yeah.
There's the old Dee Snider getting the backup. Yeah. He's back in the clubs on Long Island. I'm going to kick her ass.
Put the carrot out
You're
there.
On after.
Put the carrot out there.
So Dee, what can you tell people what you're singing? I mean, it's not a secret, right? Yeah. Tonight it'll be revealed. What songs are you doing?
Stairway to Heaven. Dream On.
Wait, Stairway to Heaven mixed with Beethoven 7th.
Oh. Please.
Let's do the Rocktopia spin.
Dream On.
Mixed with Berlioz's Symphonie Fantastique.
Cashmere.
Which is just fucking cool. Sorry.
Could say that.
Mixed with nothing. Cashmere, which is a highly orchestrated song to begin with, you know. And then we're not going to take it with the Blue Danube Waltz.
Oh, my God.
Dee-da-dee-dee-dee's crank, 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 crank.
Are you sure? For real? This is really
real.
It's the pairings thing, and none of the songs are compromised by what they do with it. It's amazing. They're mashups in a way. Starts out symphonic, and then the rock comes, and they figure out a way to mash them all together. And it's the next step with combining the symphonic with rock and roll.
Rob, have you heard from any of the artists that you're mashing up their songs with?
Yeah, I mean, Pete Townsend checked in. He was like, what are you doing with Bob O'Reilly? Well, I'm mixing it with Mozart's Eine kleine Nachtmusik. And he's like, okay, that's cool. And Dennis DeYoung was like, lovely with Come Sail Away, but just because that's kind of my background. And you know, no, people have been reaching out and giving us really big thumbs up. It's funny because we were rehearsing at SAR, which is kind of a big, you know, rehearsal studio in New York, and we were doing Because the Night, and we mixed with Tchaikovsky's Romeo and Juliet, and I turn around and I see this woman in this, like, you know, North Face jacket with, like, this, you know, silver hair, and I turn around, that's Patti Smith. She just wandered in.
Really?
And she was like,
she's homeless.
She said that's the best fucking version she's ever heard of her song. Yeah, it was
her and Bruce Springsteen's song.
Well, her and definitely the boss's song.
Wow, okay. All right. So after the New York run, where do you go?
We're back on tour in the fall.
So this is a tour. When you tour, do you do residency sort of deal, or you go city to city? You're actually
normally city to city. I mean, we're still new, so we're trying to figure it out. It looks like we're going to go to Toronto for 6 weeks, and then possibly the West End and London for another stopover.
But when you say tour, you go to these cities and you set up camp for 3-4 weeks, or you're talking one show.
One night. We're on a tour bus. We're doing it.
It's got to be unbelievably expensive. You're carrying 70, 80 people?
No, no.
Well, you pick up orchestras in those areas?
Yeah, I pick up. Yep, and pick up choirs and stuff like that.
So. And how are they in tune with what you're doing? Like, how do you rehearse, or how do they know what you want them to do?
The day of. It's
for real?
It's exhausting, man. It's
have you noticed, have you seen any classical performances?
It's exhausting.
I got, being totally honest, I'm not a big classical guy.
No, yeah. Sheet music. I don't understand why the classical world is allowed to have sheet music in front of them.
Yep.
And they all, the choir people who are singing, they've got their music and they're turning pages. But the rock band, everybody has to memorize their stuff.
That's the coolness. It's this clash that we created that kind of works. You know, the symphony is in, you know, bow ties and everything. And we're, you know, dressed like Dee Snider. So.
And yet, and are there any other rock guys in it? Somebody told me it was a guy from H.E.A.T. Heat in it in the show.
Is that Bruno?
A European guy that from another rock band. Is that right? Somebody told me Heat, H-E-A-T. Was
Tony Bruno's the music director.
Oh, Tony Bruno's in it.
You know, Bruno's my musical director.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's been playing.
But that's not Tony. Somebody told me that there was another singer from a European rock band or something in it.
Maybe not. Maybe that's TSO, probably.
Okay. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay. Yeah.
They get confused.
Sorry. 75 people on stage. It's easy to get confused.
There's a lot of crossover blood in this thing.
Yeah.
There's TSO people. There's Rock of Ages people in there. It's like 2 degrees of separation from everybody in the show.
And D, what was your thoughts when Rob or whoever first reached out to you to do this? Was it something you were all in on immediately, or did you have to take a look at it and think?
I kind of went all in. I mean, you know, I got the Broadway bug when I did Rock of Ages, and I'm classically trained, and I just sort of liked the idea of it. And to be honest, I was flattered. You know, I was flattered to be asked. You know, sometimes I feel that I am underappreciated as a singer.
You're the guy with the fangs.
Yeah. and not appreciated, but so sometimes I was like, oh, that's cool. Yeah. You know, when I get a call like that. And so, you know, it was flattering to be asked, and I thought it was, and I heard what I was singing, I got a little nervous, and I said, hey, son, you want to be challenged? These are songs to be challenged on.
What's the most challenging part of it for you?
Remembering the words to Kashmir. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's
talk about
that's
nonsensical
rough.
Bullshit. Good God.
Some
I love
hippie
Led
shit.
Zeppelin. I love Robert Plant, but that is some hippie shit.
What about singing?
Oh, the other challenge is not saying, does anybody remember Laughter? In the middle of Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, my God.
Why not? You should do it.
Fortunately,
please do it.
You don't sing
please,
that line.
Please
we
do
don't
it.
Sing
oh,
that line.
That's right, right.
Because
I do it. We got to do an edited version or my song is going to be 15 minutes long.
Yeah.
So.
What about Dream On? How's that to do?
Dream On, you know, it's just such a legendary song. Yeah. And it's just what's amazing as I'm singing it and learning the words and stuff is to realize that Tyler was 21.
Wow.
It's one of the first things he wrote. Such a mature piece for a 21-year-old to write. Every time I look in the mirror, all these lines on my face getting clearer.
Yeah.
What lines?
Yeah.
Lines on the mirror, maybe. Maybe confused. Yeah. He mixed the words
different,
up.
Different
all
kind
these
of lines.
Lines on the mirror getting clearer. They're up my nose.
As he'd be the first to say, I'm sure.
I'm sure.
But what's even more amazing about that is he wrote that at 21 and he just turned 70 and he can still sing it like he sang it back then. Which
incredible.
Is ridiculous when you think about it. He would be a guy that I would think would maybe be into something like this. Rob, did you think about that at some point?
Every day of my life.
the return call hasn't come yet?
Every day of my life.
That's the next level. That's the next level.
No, please. You're the next level, man.
If you could get Robert to come in there and plant and...
Well, I'm talking about Tyler.
Listen, I'm thrilled I got Dee Snider, man. Well, what he's bringing to the table, it's... amazing.
And I think what Dee said earlier is very true. I think, and I've always said this, I mean, as far, a lot's made of your ability as a front man, which is amazing. But vocally, I mean, right up until the last end of Twisted Sister, I mean, you there's a lot of guys out there that are croaking and can't even come
dude,
close to doing what they're
so
used to
on
doing.
Point. He walked into rehearsal and he went, there's a lady who's sure, with as clean as it, as young Plant was. And then when he dials in the D, it's just... It's nuts. It's nuts.
Dialing the D.
Dialing in the D.
Dialing the D. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We got more with Dee Snider, who's in the studio. Rob Evan, again, the show is called Rocktopia. It's playing now here in New York City on Broadway through, what, the end of the month?
Yeah, April 29th.
Okay, and then you got Dee there this week if you happen to be in town or going or want to go. And then is Robin do the rest of it? Or
Xander's doing the last week.
So is there's a week with no guest vocals.
Well, we got a surprise. So
a surprise.
We're figuring it out. Yeah.
Okay. Robert Plant is coming in.
Trying to figure it out. Well, once he hears D, he's going to show up. So.
Yeah, he's going to be threatened. He's going to come back and say, I got to reclaim my turf.
No more Alison Krauss.
I'd like to see that.
I'd like to, too.
Yeah.
All due respect to Robert, but I don't think that's happening. If he ain't doing it for Zeppelin, he ain't doing it for Rocktopia.
Yeah, exactly.
Kajillion dollars on the table to go do Zeppelin.
Jimmy would literally kill him.
All right, let's hit a break. We'll come back and we'll work in some phone calls as well. And Rob Evan from Rocktopia, Dee Snider are here in the studio. We'll continue with more after this.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Here are some useful car tips you might not be aware of. A coffee filter and a little bit of olive oil can clean your interior, removing excess weight from your car. That'll improve your gas mileage. And you can place your key fob to your chin to increase its range. Pretty weird, right? Well, here's another tip you also might not know about. TrueCar also helps people get used cars. That's right. TrueCar isn't just for buying new cars. With their certified dealer network and nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars, you'll enjoy real pricing on actual inventory and a simpler buying experience, whether you buy new or used. And with TrueCar, users can see what others paid, so they know if they're getting a good deal before buying. They're also more likely to enjoy a faster buying experience by connecting with TrueCar certified dealers. When you're ready to buy a new or used car, check out TrueCar and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features are not available in all states.
Good news! For the first time ever, the Adam Carolla Show is in virtual reality. Live, Saturday, April 21st. Heather Dubrow is going to be joining us. Just a one-time $4.99 subscription, and you can see it on your phone or your computer in virtual 360 reality. You don't need glasses, only a web-enabled device. Experience a live show from the comfort of your own internet. It's not going to air as a regular show, so you can only see it in person Saturday, April 21st, or buy the VR download and watch on your favorite device. Get it at podcastone.com/CorollaVR. podcastone.com/CorollaVR.
This is the Eddie Trunk Podcast.
Back with more with Dee Snider and Rob Evan on this week's Eddie Trunk Podcast. We got a call here for Rob who wants to say hello. This is Jeff in Connecticut. Go ahead, Jeff. You're on the air. What's going on?
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Good, man.
Just a huge fan of Rob's. My fiance and I, we've seen Rocktopia twice. We saw it on tour last year in Albany, and then we just saw it on Broadway with Pat on the 31st. And it's just an amazing performance. I mean, this time we brought my kids with us, and the kids loved it. It was, you know, the crowd gets into it. It really is just something to see. I can't recommend it enough.
Well, there you go. There's a hell of an endorsement there. Jeff, did you have a question, or you were just paid by Rob to say that? No, I'm just kidding.
Thanks, Jeff. You'll get the check in the mail. Thank
you,
bro.
He's got his checkbook out.
Yeah.
And, you know, just the rock part of it. I mean, it's such a great band with Tony Bruno, you know, from Danger Danger, and Joan Jett, and Alex Alexander, who's really Niall's drummer forever. I mean, it really is a great band, and I hope you guys have a lot of success with it and that we see a tour even more.
Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Jeff, thank you for the call.
Thank you.
Dee, let me ask you, for you, Twisted ended, is it what, 2 years ago now? About 2 years ago?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Something like, so ever since Twisted ended, you've done a bunch of different stuff. For people that haven't kept that close attention, you did your own record. I read recently, I guess you're doing a metal record with Jamie Josta.
I'm doing a metal record. It's going to blow your top off, man.
And I saw you with your own solo band. It's out at some shows doing shows as well. So, I mean, you've done a lot since then. Is putting Twisted to bed, has that afforded you all the opportunities to do all these different things that you kind of want to do to spread your wings a little bit?
I don't know if necessarily putting Twisted to bed, but I'm definitely trying things. It's just like doing this show. It's about doing things that are different. What do they say? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over, hoping for a different result. Well, I want to try things that I haven't done before and hope it goes really well. So, I mean, I've started a production company. I've got all kinds of shows and movies in development right now. I've got a residency in development, serious development, a major residency in Vegas that I can't talk about in detail right now, but it's huge. And certainly it freed up a certain amount of time. But more than anything, it's just about trying something new.
Any regrets about putting Twisted Sister to bed? And now that it's been to bed for a little bit, do you think it was, in retrospect, the right thing to do still?
I absolutely feel it was. I mean, I love the guys. We're all friends, and we ended on a really great note. And I just wanted, honestly, I can't do today what I did the last Twisted Sister show. I'll tell you that for true.
You mean physically?
Physically. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Water, if anybody's got it, please.
Get some water for D.
But there's certain... Yeah, look, not getting any younger. Damn. And something's deteriorating. Things are deteriorating. And there's things that I knew I was thrashing like a lunatic, throwing my body on the ground. And I said, I can't go much longer. And I'm doing a metal record now, but I won't be doing what I did in Twisted physically. You know, you once said I painted myself in a corner. I felt by stopping Twisted Sister, I at least could change gears as a performer. And people go, oh, you're still intense and you're still this, you're still that. But Twisted for me was another gear that I had to stop doing.
Yeah, I'd said that to you a long time ago. I said the way you performed, you did to some degree sort of paint yourself into a corner because you've got to deliver. People go see Twisted Sister. They expected that Dee Snider. And I have this thing that I say all the time, and I'm very sincere about it. The bands and the artists that I love, I'm fine with them ending than staying too long at the party. I think too many of them stay too long and you're like, that guy's just, you know, it destroys the legacy. That guy's not even half of what he used to be. I would rather have bands get out before you start saying that about them. And I think that was a smart move by you.
You know, I hope that people will say, all right, D's coming out now. He's got a metal record, not expecting me to be what I was in Twisted Sister. Like I said, it's going to be intense. It's going to be strong. My voice is going to be strong. I mean, Jamie Joss's mind is kind of blown at how powerfully I sing. But, you know, and I say this with love to Tom Araya. I say it with absolute love. But I read an interview with Tom talking about how he could no longer headbang on stage because of his neck problems. And he said that I used to define myself by my thrashing on stage, and now all I can do is sit there and groove. That was his words. Mm-hmm. That hit me like a ton of bricks because I felt for Tom, and B, I said, I don't want that to happen because nobody can defeat gravity. No, it has not. When somebody defeats gravity, somebody, you know, beats gravity, let me know. Because eventually it takes everybody out and we're all pulled into the ground. So I said, I got to draw a line somewhere so that I can at least step away gracefully in some way.
And there's no shame in it. I mean, whether it's in... You think about athletes and all the bands that we love. I mean, or all the teams we love if you're into sports. I mean, no, as you said, nobody can escape it. There's no shame in it. I think the shame comes in is when you stay too long at the party and then all of a sudden you're up there making a mockery of your legacy and people are saying, why is this guy still doing it? I mean, there's a lot of artists out there that, in my opinion, are staying too long at the party.
It's like that footage you see of Babe Ruth after he was traded from the Yankees. I can't remember where he went. Was it Atlanta? He may have been Atlanta. And he would walk around the bases, literally walk. Yeah. And it was just this like, and it's just these sad old footage. Well, now this is not just a rare film. It's everybody's filming everything.
Yeah.
Every moment. Yeah. I don't want to be there for that.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a big boxing fan. You see fighters that have stayed too long, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know. So there. To my point is, for Dee Snider, there's never going to be that footage of you with Twisted Sister, because I saw some of the final shows right till the very end. You brought it. You're in tremendous shape. You did what people expected from you, but you got out before you felt you weren't going to be able to do that.
It's what I had to do, and I love the guys. I just couldn't continue on like that.
And important that you did it. Like, the last time it ended was not on good note. So you're saying you ended on...
On a great note, and I hope it stays that way with the guys. I mean, I love them all. And, you know, and people, if you saw reviews of those last shows, and we did a lot of filming, so there's footage coming out. It was full on, man. It was thrashing. It was headbanging. It was throwing my body on the floor and crawling around. Did not hold back one bit at 61 years old. And I walked off the stage with my head held high, so to speak, you know, and people saying that was amazing. And that's, you know, shirtless. I mean, you know, just even keeping that up, to be able to take your shirt off at 60.
He didn't even have a breadcrumb for 3 years,
it was
for
like,
God's sake.
I said, hey, I want a muffin. I'm going to write a new song. I want a carb.
You know, not I want a rock, I want a carb.
So, you know, again.
By the way, Dr. Oz was right down the hall for real, and he has proclaimed that the war on bread is over. So everybody, I want your carbs, go eat them. I know he did a show. He proclaimed the war on bread is over, and bread is okay now. So I thank you, Dr. Oz. Rob and I,
dude, I'm like, bring it on. Thank you, Jesus.
D's like, I still want to be with my shirt off. I am here.
No. It ain't happening.
But that's an important thing to you. You take care of yourself. You want to make sure that you, even in your later years, if you're going to get on that stage, you're still going to bring it.
You didn't want that moment you were talking about where you go, geez, they stayed too long. And I don't want to out people. And I wasn't trying to out Tom, because that was his words. And like I said, I love Slayer. I love him. So it was not casting any aspersions.
No, there's
but
nothing.
But we've seen them. There's another very big band who reunited, went out and did amazing tours together. And then the last tour, there was just horrible reviews about the front man. Horrible. And I said, one tour too long.
Yeah.
You know, one tour too long and disappointing people.
Yeah.
And leaving that as the memory.
But is it you as a performer and a front man, and is it hard? You understand? I would imagine you could relate to the fact that the people that find it so hard to pull away, because it's, I imagine it's like a drug. You got those people screaming out there, and you're just like, you can't pull away from it. My good friend Mike Piazza told me once about sports, making the analogy to sports. He said to me, one of the reasons why you see so many athletes, when they are done, become managers or broadcasters is because they can't still want to be in the guys club. They can't walk away from some sort of level of attention and being out there and being in the public eye and just being, having stuff done for you, being on the road and going to hotels and the whole, that's your life that you know, and to pull back from that is very difficult, so you find other ways to do it. Do you relate to that at all, Dee?
Yeah, but there are other ways to get that attention now, and I did it in the 90s when grunge came around, and found it through being on radio and making movies and doing things like that. So, you know, there are other creative outlets. And, you know, there are people out there, I can hear you screaming right now, and I've heard this said, we just want to see you out there. Not me, but they're heroes. We don't care if you're...
Of that school at
right.
all.
But there are people who say they just love to still see you out there. And that's great. And God love anybody who wants to do it like that. I, in my own head, this is just what I needed to do. And, you know, and so now I get a chance to do other things. And so, you know, I'm not going to be thrashing on stage, but believe me, it'll be intense.
Oh, he's going to be. He's going to be thrashing
powerful,
on stage.
It's intense.
That's all. That's what he knows, man. He's going to be thrashing on stage.
He's thrashing.
He's going to start
the Stairway to Heaven.
Start relocating monitors and moving music stands for the violin player and fixing lights. You know, climbing into the rafters. You're not going to be able to help yourself. Dude. You're going to do it.
I just got a great idea. I
think
I'm going to take the violinist Angus Young style on my shoulders and run her through the crowd. They got this little violinist. I'm going to take her on the shoulders and do the run.
This is Henry, who's listening to us in Pennsylvania. Go ahead, Henry. You're live on the air. What's going on?
Hey, how's it going, guys? I've seen you guys from the days back in the Moore to Six Flags to Starland and everything else. But I've always wondered, Now, the whole connection between the Animal House and the song on Stay Hungry, was that planned or just something that kind of like happened?
It just happened. It just happened. You know, I just, at the end of the We're Not Gonna Take It song, I was a big Animal House freak and just started running out of things to say, started screaming, "You're worthless and weak, drop and give me 20 and whatever. And then when I came up with the idea for the video, we decided, like, who are we going to get to play the dad? And I was saying to Marty Kollner, the director, I said, well, you know, someone like Mark Medcalf from Animal House, to me, he was like a superstar, you know, and yeah. And I said, you know, somebody like that. And Marty said, well, why don't we get him? What is he like working on?
Oh, yeah, that was unbelievable. I loved that so much when I first saw that. I was just rolling on the ground laughing.
So now we got Mark Medcalf in the video. And so we're like, well, let's start writing some stuff for Mark to say that paraphrases his Niedermeyer Animal House stuff. So it was really just by, and then we got, you know, Stephen First for I Want to Rock. And so it really just happened. It wasn't no grand plan.
I always wondered how that all came together. Mm-hmm. The stars just aligned and that happened.
Yep. Thank you, Henry, for the call. Much appreciated. I've asked you this before, when you wrote We're Not Going to Take It, you have any inkling whatsoever at the time that you wrote that song what it would become and be your defining song in your career?
I couldn't imagine what it would become because now it's practically a folk song. I mean, you got those teachers singing it in protest.
Just Oklahoma,
and
right?
The Spielberg movie that just came out. It's the big, you know, moment in Ready Player One. We're not going to take it.
Oh, I didn't see that. Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, I couldn't have seen that. But when it flew out of my mouth, and I really should, I have a tape of me singing it for the first time, and it came out as one, the chorus is one piece.
Really, if you can, like, do you remember the actual moment that the song came to
Clear
you?
Clear as a bell.
Share it with us.
Well, I write like a turning on a faucet. I'm blessed that way. I found that if I think about ideas, and I have plenty of them, I'd forget them if I didn't have someplace to write them down. So I trained myself to never think about writing unless you were ready, had a tape recorder, and you were ready to put it down. So I was actually in our tour manager, Joe Gerber's apartment, and I'd stopped up there to literally use the space just for some privacy, and I would have song titles, a list of song titles, and that's what I always work on. And I We're Not Going to Take It was a song title I wanted to use, completely blanking out the Who's, by the way. I mean, I know that song, I just said We're Not Going to Take It, that's a good song title. And
so you jot that down.
Yeah, jot it down.
That's the first thing you have.
Sit with a list of song titles, and I look at the word song title, and I see if I get any inspiration out of it. And if I don't, I move on to the next song title. And a song title will give me kind of a feel of where it's going to be and what I want to do with it. And so we're not going to take it. And I just got in my head and just, we're not going to take it. No, we ain't going to take it. We're not going to take it anymore.
That comes to you.
Like that.
Just like that.
And I stop the recorder and I go, that must be somebody else's song. I said, that must be somebody else's song. And I'm thinking about it. And no, it's not anybody else's song. And I said, let me go back and try to finish it. And I could never, that was 1980. So when people would say to me, oh, you know, it was the sellout song, I wrote the chorus in 1980, couldn't have been hungrier. And I wrote the verse and the B verse in 1982 before we left to record You Can't Stop Rock and Roll. So, and I just had like ideas on tapes and I have to translate them and figure out the words. So while we were recording Can't Stop Rock and Roll, I would go in the other room and I would be working on song lyrics for the next album. I always worked that way, one album ahead. So there was no sellout. We're not going to take it. It was as genuine and heartfelt as ever. But that piece just flew out of me. And thank you, God. And I remember when we did I'll Never Grow Up Now and Bad Boys, I'll Never Grow Up Now with Eddie Kramer. And Eddie Kramer said, this is like a great kind of song for you guys, anthemic kind of sing-along kind of thing. And I said to him, I've got one coming. It's not finished, but it's a monster. And he said, when can I hear it? I said, I have to finish it. And that was in 1980. We did I'll Never Grow Up Now, and it took 4 years before it was released. So
the verses came to you at another time.
Yep.
So you were just sitting on that melody and that chorus for a while.
I keep returning to it, and I couldn't figure out where to go with the verse.
And is it true that when you presented that song to, well, I guess it was Werman who
Tom
did
Werman, Stay Hungry. He listens to everything. He's going to be losing his mind.
He didn't want to do it, right?
He said he didn't want to do I Want to Rock or We're Not Going to Take It. He said, I did I Want to Rock with Molly Hatchet. Because Molly Hatchet had that galloping thing going. And then he said, We're Not Going to Take It. No, it's too sing-songy, man. I'm going to take it. I remember literally being on one knee, him sitting in a chair going, Tom, please, we got to have these songs on the album. He actually brought in Saxon Records and played me Long Arm of the Law and Princess of the Night and said, you should cover these songs. I go, it's Saxon. He goes, yeah, yeah. I go, we tour with Saxon. Right. He goes, oh, nobody knows that band. I said, our people know that band. I know Biff. We're not covering Saxon songs.
Right, right.
I mean, he didn't see that was like incompatible with a metal band to be literally, you know, playing the songs that their peers were playing simultaneously. So I had to beg him to put those two songs on the record.
And what was the when those two songs become monster multi-platinum?
Yeah,
was there an I Told You So moment?
Oh, I've been dying to tell you. So he's losing his mind. He's because he hears these me saying these things, and he actually did himself in. They actually interviewed him on VH1 or something. I think it was Behind the Music, and he goes, "I did not want to do. We're Not Going to Take It, but it is kind of We're Not Going to Take It." And he just what I said. He said it was like too like you know too sing along. I was like, dude, trust me, trust me.
People are going to be singing that song in 2018 at a teacher's protest in Oklahoma.
Yeah, and they're going to be singing it tonight on Broadway.
Rocktopia.
And Rocktopia with the Blue Danube Waltz.
Where's the strangest place you've heard it come up and heard it sung or used?
I have to say in the butt. No, I'm sorry. That's an old line from...
In the butt, Bob.
From In the Butt, Bob. Thank you. Some people know that old story. The strangest place... Oh, okay. We got the call many years ago that a women's premenopausal medication wanted to use We're Not Going to Take It. And I like, are you freaking kidding me? This is my art. This is my... How much?
We're going to take it.
I said, what does this do? They said, well, you know, it helps with premenopausal. It helps vaginal dryness. I said, wait a second. I am totally against vaginal dryness. I think I'm doing God's work. Actually, I don't think there's a man or woman out there who's not against vaginal dryness.
It's suddenly become a public service song.
Yes, exactly. So, but and then the commercial had all these Tipper Gore types with the high-waisted denims on there shaking their fists.
When did this air? I missed this.
Oh, God, this was in 98, 99, somewhere around there, 2000. So I remember that. And the other one was...
Stanley Steemer,
I remember. The Rock of Ages movie.
Oh, okay.
Where the PMRC type organization, their song, as they sing at Tom Cruise and Stacey Jacks, is We're Not Going to Take It, and protesting rock music. I said, this is the definition of irony here. It was on the Filthy 15.
You were on Celebrity Apprentice. Did Trump use it? Did Trump use it at all in his campaign?
On his campaign in the beginning,
he
yeah.
Did. He did.
But, you know, to his credit, called and asked. And I was like, and we were friendly, and I said, hey, man. Songs about rebellion, raising hell, go for it. And I didn't think it was seriously going to
become the president.
And then about 3 months in, we'd had dinner and drinks, but you don't talk about politics when you're hanging out socially. Right. And all of a sudden, his belief system started to come out. And finally, I called up and said, I can't be a part of this anymore.
So you stopped him from using it?
I called him up, and to his credit...
You call him personally at this point,
yeah.
Or you call you do
and said
you have the president's number on you right now.
No, I said I can't stand with you on your beliefs here, and people think that I'm endorsing you.
Right.
I need you to stop using the song. And to his credit, he stopped that night.
Yeah,
that night. Asked for permission, and my kids, who were big Bernie supporters, they were like, you got to go pop into the press. I said, listen, here's a lesson to be learned. When a man's a gentleman and calls you and asks for permission, and you grant him permission, if you have to give him the courtesy of saying, please stop.
Right.
And that's, and you know, if he doesn't, then you do something, but on a dime.
You know what I think is amazing about what he does now? When he does a speech publicly, you know the first song that he plays as soon as he leaves, which makes no sense to me? You can't always get what you want. If you listen to the Stones, if you listen as soon as he's done speaking, as he's leaving the stage, they play. It doesn't seem like that's the message.
It's weird.
You can't, like from the top, the whole, or, you know, yeah, the choirish part, like, it's you can't, like, what it, I don't, I'm fascinated by that decision to send that message out. Well, you know, I just said a bunch of shit, but you can't always get what you want, so hold me to half of it. Well, I mean, I don't know what is.
We're focusing on We're Not Going to Take It, but I remember Paul Ryan was using We're Not Going to Take It without permission. And he's like super righty, you know, not pro-choice, not, I mean, he's just, and the first line of the song is, we've got the right to choose.
Mm.
And he's out there, we've got the right to choose. No, we don't. And they will, we will. I said, does anybody vet these things? Is anybody listening to what the words are?
Well, it's that, like that classic Born in the USA thing. I forget who was using that without realizing what the message was. So then again, the show is Rocktopia. It is on Broadway. Tickets are where if people want to buy them. Is it?
Telecharge.com or Rocktopia.com.
Rocktopia.com. And one day you're not. One day dark, right? Is
Wednesday.
It Wednesdays are
Wednesday,
dark?
Yeah.
And then on weekends,
but
is
he's
going to
do a private performance on Wednesday. That's what I've heard.
Just for
that's
you,
what
Rob.
I'm sharing, everybody.
Just for you.
And the weekends are the two shows, right?
Two Saturday, two Sunday.
So matinee and then the evening performance.
Yep. And you want to catch D? You got to come this week.
D is this week, and then
Robin Zander the last week, and then we're,
but there's mystery guest in
mystery
the middle.
Mystery guest.
It's like mystery meat.
Let's just focus
it's
on
like
D
a mystery
right
meat.
Now. That's, let's just. I'm just trying to take one day.
Wait
at a time,
minute.
Man.
Is this an attempt to maybe get D to stick around for the second week?
That's exactly what it is.
If
man.
It goes well, maybe we get a D Snyder encore presentation.
Yeah, I'm creating new ideas for D. I Want to Rock or something off of.
I want to do Burn
Desperado
in Hell.
Desperado or something
I said
like
earlier.
That.
Burn
yeah.
in Hell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something Burn in Hell with some like really like.
Like Carmina Burana or something like that.
Yeah. There you go.
That works. I'm already figuring it out.
See, Rob's got it all figured out. Exactly. The D's starting to think of the theatrical aspect. There'll be flames coming up at his feet.
Dude. Yeah. Fire. We're adding fire to the show.
He's in for a month.
I just want my flames bigger than Gene Simmons.
Before you know it, D's going to be swinging from a harness above the audience.
When I did Celebrity Apprentice All-Stars, one of them, I don't know, they wanted me in full costume. They said, we're going to have flames behind you. And I said, will my flames be bigger than Gene Simmons? They said, absolutely. I said, okay, count me in.
That's it. I'm in. That's all it takes. So everybody go check out this show. And D, when is this record you're doing with Jamie going to come out?
It's on Napalm. And I believe it's in July. But singles will be coming out sooner than that, then. And it's heavy as key curse.
Please. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Are you the only singer or do you and Jamie sing on it?
You know what? No, I sing on there. Howard Jones sings on one of the songs. Alyssa White Glutes.
Sings.
I mean,
see, that's what I was worried about. I like heavy, but I don't like Cookie Monster. I know you don't do Cookie Monster.
She came, when he suggested her,
Rob's laughing. You never heard that, Rob? Cookie Monster's like death metal. That's a unanimous term in the metal community.
No, it's not melody. Jamie said to me, you need to do a heavy record like Rob Halford's Resurrection. Like a contemporary metal record, but with melody and, you know, just, and I said, well, who's going to write this stuff? And he said, everybody. And we've got people from Lamb of God and people from Killswitch Engage, and Killcode's another band, good band, and people from Disturbed, and the contributions came from everywhere. It was great.
Well, my thanks to D. Snyder. And my thanks to Rob from Rocktopia for joining me on this week's Eddie Trunk podcast. Always fun to talk to D and very cool to spend some time and get to meet Rob. New podcasts every Thursday, always free. Podcast1.com and iTunes. Spread the word. Be sure to listen to me daily on Sirius XM channel 106 volume from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time live, replaying 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, and full shows on demand on the Sirius XM app.
That's where the interview you just heard originated, and it's just a small sample of what I do on a daily basis live on SiriusXM, and hope you get involved, hope you come on board if you are not already as a member of Trunk Nation. Don't forget my brand new TV show, Trunk Fest, premiering on Access TV July 1st, and shooting another episode of that in New Orleans this weekend at Jazz Fest. If you happen to be attending, maybe I'll see you there. And I'll see you next Thursday for sure for another episode of the Eddie Trunk Podcast, free on podcast1.com and iTunes. And don't forget, follow on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Eddie Trunk, Twitter, where you get most of the up-to-the-second news, info, and updates. And, of course, EddieTrunk.com, the official online home. Have a great week, everybody. Katie Irizarry, thank you to her. She is the producer of the Eddie Trunk Podcast. Catch you next Thursday. And, of course, every day on the radio on SiriusXM.
This week on All of the Above with Norman Lear, actor, author Sean Penn sits down with Norman and Paul to talk about his new book, Bob Honey, Who Just Do Stuff.
Perhaps a truth worth grabbing and holding on to for dear life, that where life is really lived in the simple places of love and happiness. Bob owned neither. And in lieu of that, only solitude would suffice.
Be sure to download new episodes of All of the Above with Norman Lear every Monday on the Podcast One app, at podcastone.com, or at Apple Podcasts. And don't forget to leave a rating and review.